Why is it so hard to name kombucha? Let's find out. Welcome back to another episode of the Thrive Brew Kombucha Podcast.
We have Elijah here again.
I'm back.
You're back.
Again.
You're here this time.
It's been a segment.
Yeah. It's been a month.
It's been a couple months of wildness. Gone definitely, the last month.
Yeah.
But on my personal end, it's been a couple months.
Yes. No, I think that's true.
It's been all great. It's been really good.
A lot of things moving.
Last week was rad.
It was.
Saw the goose in Louisville at the Palace.
The goose.
The goose.
There's just one.
If you know, you know. Not the geese.
No.
The goose.
The goose.
Awesome band. Check them out.
Great.
We got some good stuff we're talking about today.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff. Something we've been working around a little bit. Something else, though. Fun announcement, though. We just yesterday canned our last batch of Butterfly.
That's right, for the season.
For the season. Very last one.
That's right.
We almost didn't do that one.
We didn't, but we just had to.
We're going to extend it.
I'm pretty glad we did, too, because this batch, ooh la la.
This is a great batch.
It really was.
Great batch.
We were sipping some on the canning line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On that basis, quick question. Does the purple look a little, like, on the cans? Does that look, is that a deeper purple than before? Because when I saw the labels, I was like, there's a little bit more of a bluer tint to this.
I think it's because it's by the Sapphire.
No, because when I saw it, I thought that.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not think
no.
that.
No, okay. It was just me.
Maybe.
Which is fine.
Order something, let us know.
That's a really good one.
I don't know. When it's sitting by the Sapphire in the fridge, it does look a little more blue.
Absolutely.
But I don't think so.
Cool. So what we're talking about today is it's something that is presently relevant, but it's something that we're constantly going on and on about. Our next flavor that we're going to be releasing, we're having trouble figuring out its name.
Yes.
Kind of going back and forth, and we chatted with the Patreon about some help with figuring that out, and we'll talk about that later on. So I just thought, let's do an episode where we can actually communicate and talk about
flavor theory.
Flavor naming. I guess technically theory is appropriate because it's a explanation of how, not necessarily
the way we approach it.
It's the way we approach it. The way we approach naming flavors. It was particularly because it was so hard to come up with the right name for this flavor.
Because we had some parameters that we had to
We always have parameters.
There were some extra ones this time, I felt like.
Extra?
We'll go into that.
I don't think it was extra. I felt like it was the same as normal, but let me know. But I figured like that's what inspired the name. It was like it was really hard to come up with the exact right name for this particular one.
Took us a little bit.
Yep. It's not always that way. Sometimes it's
sometimes off we the start bat. With the concept and build out.
And that's exactly what we're gonna be talking about today.
Yeah.
Okay. So off the bat, you wanna just kinda go ahead and start talking about sort of
don't we have any announcements? No?
I mean, we were going to have announcements, but you decided you want to postpone.
Oh, I thought that one.
No. Oh, okay. If the name is on there.
Okay, gotcha.
Then, gotcha. Yeah.
Let's dive right in then.
Okay, yeah.
So, flavor theory.
Okay, so let's talk about what the names of our, let's start with our core flavors.
Yeah.
So we have Blush. We have Sapphire. Seasonally right now, we have Butterfly. And we have the classic, the Kentucky Mule.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Mule.
Let's start with the Mule.
So that, I would say, is our ground level cornerstone of our business flavor. It's just a flavor that the theory behind naming this flavor was We wanted something that locally tied us to showcase kind of where we come from. And also that was relatable to the clientele that are here in our region. Being a kombucha brewer, obviously there's a lot of kind of like mystery and just unawareness of what we do.
Right.
What we make, what we create. And so we wanted to have some sort of familiarity to one of our brews so that it was kind of like approachable.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about different things that make our state who we are. And obviously everyone knows the two cliches, horses and bourbon.
Yeah.
And it reigns decently true in at least somewhat. It's two of the big drivers. Two big economic drivers.
If you're in Lexington, then yes, specifically.
Yes. Especially Lexington.
Yeah.
Caneland. So I started thinking about bourbon and then how that could relate over to obviously being a fermented beverage and how that could relate over to kombucha. And just then my mind just started wandering to, because we've talked about in the past ad nauseum how we craft flavors. We really think cocktail kind of oriented when we think about flavors.
Yeah.
Aroma, mouthfeel, sweet, sour, all these different things. And I started thinking about bourbon-based cocktails. Obviously, your, you know, top one's Old Fashioned Whiskey Sour, which definitely thought about that one for a minute. But then kind of came over to one of my personal summer favorites.
You didn't want to put egg whites into the kombucha?
That would have been a revolution to the category.
Yes.
We would have lost all the vegan status, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I just thought over to probably the most popular cocktail in the state, especially in the warmer months.
Yep.
And the Kentucky Mule came forward. Also, there was kind of a correlation that I thought of. If you've ever been to Kentucky, most state's most popular soda, Ale 8.
Yeah.
It's a citrus and ginger-based soda, and it's very popular around here. As far as sodas go, it's pretty good, I guess. And but that citrus,
I guess,
that citrus ginger, like you see a lot of bars that will do like an Ale 8 bourbon,
definitely,
type
definitely
mix, because you know it's close to that.
Yep,
flavors just mix great together. And so the Kentucky Mule just seemed like the perfect kind of, this is where we're from, but we're also doing something new. Type of a name to kind of go off,
yeah,
with. So we started with the name slash, I mean, it obviously has a concept tied to it, you know, ginger beer.
Ginger was already a really easy mint kind of lead in.
We wanted one ginger flavor.
Always.
As a core.
You have to.
In the category, ginger is probably the most, I mean, it definitely is the most popular ingredient in all of the kombucha realm for a reason. It mixes great. And so, but we wanted, you know, pretty much every kombucha producer out there has a ginger flavor or a ginger lemon flavor, like we've talked about many times on the podcast as well. And so we wanted something that had a little bit of a unique kind of like take on a ginger-based flavor. And so all those things culminated in building out the Kentucky Mule.
Great.
So it kind of started with a concept slash something that was locally relevant,
mm-hmm,
and then built it out from there.
This is kind of an aside. It's not entirely relevant, but we had the ginger staple before Kentucky Mule, the Granny G.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
We're gonna make that again.
Oh, absolutely!
It's freaking delicious.
Yeah,
I've had multiple requests for it to come back.
Well, and
it's been
you
years.
Always will.
It's been years.
You always will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are a couple of times when people came in, were still asking for it. You know, having to break their hearts, telling them how the Kentucky Mule was pretty much going to replace it as our ginger,
yeah,
staple. But even that, there you kind of have, sort of, you have that naming of a flavor kind of concept going on. Like, it's not straightforward. It's just these ingredients kind of going forth, but
yes,
you have a concept you're interacting with a little bit there. What makes it not relevant to this conversation is what was kind of like in your thinking when it came to like creating the flavor profile of the Kentucky Mule when you dial down the ginger from the Granny G?
Yeah.
Because I knew that was going to be another thing that was going to be maybe a heartbreak for the Granny G fanatics.
Yeah, the Granny G was heavy ginger.
Heavy ginger.
And like think GT's ginger aid and then go up a step from that. It was pretty spicy.
Yeah.
But we wanted something that, you know, we use all fresh pressed in-house ginger, Peruvian ginger, so it already packs a punch, but we wanted something that was like when we're crafting every one of our flavors. We like our flavors to definitely come through, but we don't want anything to massively overpower another thing in the brew. And so it was kind of like, what does, you know, once we came up with the concept, then it was like, okay, let's, and then we'll go into this more, is like, we want the flavor name to give you a heads up as to what the drinking experience is going to be like. And so when you're drinking a Kentucky Mule cocktail, you're not getting just this overwhelming ginger that's coming through in it. It's definitely there.
Yeah.
And you taste it and it's a part of the experience.
Well, the thing when you're mixing a Kentucky Mule, you have the bourbon heat connected with the ginger that helps kind of pull that out as well.
Yeah. And so we wanted just kind of like it to be a beverage to where it's like, you know, the ginger's there, but it's not just ginger with a little of all these other things.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah.
We wanted it to kind of be just like a well mixed, you know, cocktail, very balanced in all the ways. And so that's kind of how it came to be. Just kind of staying true to what people would expect from like a Kentucky Mule cocktail.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk more about like how we name our kombuchas. Let's start with this. What are some of the criteria for, let's talk about the things that would be wrong with naming a flavor.
Yeah. One of the biggest things, I guess here's the important part about this. This is the things that we think about.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that there's some sort of hard, fast rules. Everyone, I mean, people can name things whatever they want. I mean, that's right. The beauty and the art and of it all.
Yep.
But we like, things that I first think about are keep the amount of words simple. Mm. Make it a concept that someone can say quickly and grab onto to where it's memorable. Also, I look to, are there any other, especially mass-produced kombuchas out there that hold the name that I'm thinking about?
Mm.
Because we, you know, that wouldn't be cool. And then the next probably thing that I think about is, it depends on how we're doing the brew. Sometimes we start with a concept and then build the brew based on the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we start with the ingredients and then try to name the flavor based on the ingredients that are involved, which tends to be a little bit harder, actually. I feel like it's kind of a little bit easier when you're starting with a concept and then building it out.
Mm-hmm.
I found, at least in some of ours.
Well, because you already, again, like there's already a cohesion, and so at that point you're deconstructing it, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of, if you start with the concept, you kind of already have like a flavor profile you're chasing.
Yes.
So now you can build it around what you're around that versus, you know, having a combination and then trying to like find the what the thread is that weaves it all together so that it's communicating all of the beverage, not just aspects of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Kentucky Mule and our blush flavors were both concepts that we built. You know, then we built the flavors around those concepts.
Yep.
Unlike our Sapphire flavor,
right,
which was, we knew the ingredients that we wanted to use, and then we had to back name it,
mm-hmm,
which was a little bit tougher. There was a lot of them, and I'm very happy where it landed.
Yeah.
It's very concise, easy to remember. I think people enjoy saying the word, which is kind of a weird off comment, but it's just a nice word.
It is. It is.
Yeah. And it ties in with the blueberry concept and blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
Yep.
And
that's another, like, just threaded value of ours. Like, we really enjoy, like, color is pretty prominent for us in how we go about things. And yeah. So if the color and the title match, there's a win there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing in the mix.
Yep. Yeah. So, so you had mentioned a couple of things. Number one, as few words as possible.
Yeah. Concise.
Keep it concise. Also, grabbable. So it can't be too generic.
Yes.
Of a name or a phrase. Right.
Yes.
Which is, I think, a key reason as to why we don't use just the ingredients is the name.
Yeah. It's just like beverage is the mix of art and science. Mm. And let's be real. Getting to be beverage creators is a pretty rad job. It's just, you know, so it just seems to me a little lazy to not run with it and make it that much more exciting and full-on experience to just take the name to a concept, you know? It's just more fun, more memorable.
Yeah.
Even though there are other blueberry hops kombuchas out there, there's no Sapphire.
Correct. Yeah, because that was another thing you mentioned. Like, so, you know, being conscientious of, you know, in market terms, competition.
Yeah.
Right? Conscientious about, like, are any of our competitors already using this name? Or what increases its distinction against those? Might be, like, we know it won't taste the same as theirs.
Absolutely not.
And because it can't. Because of the way we do ours and the way they do theirs. Like, it's virtually impossible. But until you taste it, that's not necessarily clear or straightforward for the customers. Absolutely. So, one, we don't want to get sued by any other company. you know, that is a value. I would say that is a value.
It's an abiding principle.
Yeah. But also, to your point, like, we like them being fun. We like them being fun for the customers.
Absolutely.
So again, customer liking to say Sapphire or Blush or Butterfly.
And which has been interesting over time because there have been flavors that we've named things that I've noticed in person that people will not say the name and they'll just say the ingredients.
Really?
On certain flavors, which is kind of fascinating to think about because it's just like there's certain phrases that people don't want to say.
Mm.
For I don't really
know. Can you
give
me an example?
Reason. Well, one that we've created in the past, the Big Blue Ocean.
Yeah.
People did not like to say that name.
What do they call it instead?
They would say the blue one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the one with the spirulina or something to that degree, which is just kind of it's just an interesting concept just to think about and be like, instead of forcing people, just take that information in and be like, okay, we need to rethink this.
Big Blue
Ocean.
It's
not connecting.
Is a lot of words. When it was just...
I love how we say three words are a lot of words.
They are.
I love that.
They are. when it was just Ocean Blue, was that the same?
Yeah, people would say that more readily.
Well, it's because but then again, like the blue is like the dominant factor going on there. So that's where the draw is.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what's going to happen.
Yeah.
In the future when we do that iteration again.
Ooh.
Because we got
hints dropped.
Hints. we should retitle this episode Hints. Just hints all around. You get a hint.
Stay tuned.
Yep. So we got that somewhere down the pipeline. But I'll be curious how that pans out.
Yeah.
On that basis. Juniper Gin is just fun, is another one. Another fun phonetic.
Yeah.
Because you got the leaping J's.
Oh, yeah. That one's fun to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Tears.
Oh, Tears.
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 Sold out.
Gone. So if you didn't get any, it's your fault.
Jump on.
It's been available for a while.
Yep. It was a good one, though.
Yeah.
Don't say yeah. You didn't enjoy it.
We sold out pretty...
It wasn't your favorite.
We sold out of it in not a long time. It did well.
So
I can say, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I loved it. Had that.
Were you the one that you bought all of them?
I did.
That's it.
I did.
You reinvested back in the company.
They're all in my fridge at home.
They're
all,
okay. That's one big fridge. next to all the dead meat, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. Going back to what we were chatting about, my favorite way to do it is starting with concepts.
Yep.
Or starting with a single ingredient and then naming the concept and then building the rest of the flavor out on that. Something to those degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the most fun parts, even though sometimes it can be challenging. It is pretty rewarding when you finally get something that just lands.
Yeah.
You
know,
it just, that's there's
true.
A cohesiveness. There's the customers enjoy ordering it. Obviously, it has to be a great product to start. People have to enjoy it. Usually, that's something that we've been trying out lately is we'll build flavor, like small batch flavors with just the ingredients as the name. If the flavor on its own takes off, then we'll build a concept.
Yeah.
And that seems to work pretty decently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Make sure that the base, there's no flash to it. So there's not someone just likes the concept of blush. You know, or like
right.
Kentucky Mule.
Well, not only that, like it also depends on like, so we have some people who, like a very, we kind of build something around a like subculture of our audience. Like,
yeah.
like the strawberry jalapeno, like it's a very small number who really like the pepper ones.
Yes.
So we'll build something for them, but, you know, we'll keep it. It's actually probably better. It serves them better to include the pepper flavor inside of there.
And they know what they want.
Very
give
clear,
it to them.
Very clear. This is the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
As opposed to, again, trying to like build an entire concept around this. It's like, no. That's not what they're here for. They want this flavor profile. So from these ingredients, so we'll keep that as the dominant thing.
We'll give it to them.
We'll give it to them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah. Do you have anything more you want to say on that? Because I want to switch gears on this.
Yeah, let's switch.
Okay. So what does the way, like, so we kind of talk about, like, the creation of the name
mm-hmm.
and that relationship. So we have, like, few words as possible. We like a concept. We like it to be fun.
To make sense with the flavor.
To make sense with the flavor. To have a, yeah, it has to be.
Set you up for success.
That is the main thing. Like you need to, we want the customer to be able to like see the name and taste it and those correlate. So an example of one that we had kind of played around with is we played around with like a when we were doing blueberry. Once we played around with like a blueberry pie sort of thing.
Yes.
But the things we would have to do to that flavor, like to the blueberries or with the blueberries in order to make that make sense, is very different than using hops, right?
Yes.
So, so we take that into consideration as well. So I just want to know what the relationship to Thrive as a business company and brand, what that relationship is to using these singular titles or of these beverages in themselves. Does that make sense?
I think, you know, like if I had to on the fly answer that question, that's probably a good one to think about more than I actually do. But kind of with this whole thing that we've been chasing for the past 2 years and just culminating into what we want to be our offering and value to the world, the initial word of our tagline, Clean Crushable Kombucha, clean resonates with, first off, you know, clean eating, which resonates with health.
Yep.
When you go into, like, let's say, like we have a local place in town, Vinaigrette Salad Kitchen.
Yep.
You go into a vinaigrette, you're there to get a nicely prepared, fresh, local ingredients at when possible salad. It would be a strange concept if you went into that space and there's old barn wood as the decor.
Yeah.
All the fonts are like Western theme, and there's like, I don't know, like Southern rock playing over the speakers.
Sounds like the next wing of the business.
It would just be a weird thing to where that's a cool vibe in of itself if you're in Nashville on Broadway, mm-hmm. out for beers on some bachelorette party, listening to some honky tonk, you know, that yep. matches, you know, yep. you expect that.
Yep.
You wouldn't want to go into a, like if you're down there in Nashville, you wouldn't be, you want to, you would not want to go to some like modern angles, lots of white walls, tons of bright light, you know,
right.
just those concepts wouldn't mix. And so with us wanting to chase and basically showcase our value of clean, clean ingredients, then yep. to go along with that, we need clean names. We need clean, mm-hmm. concise names to basically just basically let people know that every part of this product is cohesive.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That would be, that's kind of like the quick way I go about it.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think the saturation of our color too, like mm-hmm. how bright our colors are, the way that that mixes with like the color of our beverages too. You know, I think that has a like, I think that has a draw with the crushable, right? Because we assume really colorful drinks are not necessarily sippers.
Yeah,
I think if you're thinking about a very colorful drink, you're probably thinking of like, again, like a soda or a juice or a Gatorade or something like that. Something that, you know, it's not necessarily a very like high profile sort of thing that you're sipping on and just down this. Go for it. Go for it. Then have another. It's fine. It's
yes.
great. So I think the design of them kind of speaks to that. It is still clean, but not necessarily like overly fancy. It's still approachable, well,
this
which
isn't
is where
a
the crushable comes in.
This isn't a green juice.
Yeah. Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is amazing for you, but this is like crush your thirst type of
yeah.
delicious.
Which I think our decision to go with the 12-ounce cans plays into that
oh, yeah.
a lot. I think if we were to do less than 12 or up to 16, it would communicate something very different.
Absolutely.
About how to entreat this.
Yes.
Cool.
That's at least a start.
Yeah.
On the ways that we approach name and flavors, building out concepts, things like that.
Yep. Which we have a couple coming up.
Couple new flavors.
We have a couple new flavors.
One that we've been working on for a while, and all you Patreonites have kind of weighed in.
Yep.
And we've been, you know, we've made a couple small batches of this. We made I won't say a large batch. I'll say medium at best.
It's decent.
We have very limited stock. It's going to be a one-off flavor.
Yep.
It's going to be dropping next Thursday. And make sure to tune into that web store.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to try it out. Because if me and Trev don't drink it all, I'm telling you what.
If you don't hurry up.
I've seen Trev drink kombucha. It's usually slow.
Yeah, this is true.
It's usually just, you know, a little bit here, a lot of water there.
Yeah.
But I've been seeing Trev crush this one.
Remember? I have been. I super have been.
I mean, it is a freaking delicious flavor.
You know what? Same to that butterfly. I downed that sucker yesterday.
You did.
You poured me some. I was like, no, I'm not. Wait, I'm finishing this right now.
That's the new barometer.
It was
Does
so
Trevor
good.
Crush it?
That's true. Because I don't crush anything. I don't crush anything.
And we've been able to pull off a couple of batches here.
Yep.
That Trev crushes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
Tune in next Thursday. We're dropping it on the web store. Once it's gone, it's gone. Definitely check it out. And yeah, that's all I got. Oh, last week.
There you go.
Last week.
There you go.
The June 10% off the web store.
That's it.
It ends in these next couple of days. when this drops, it's going to be like a couple days.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you've been wanting to try Thrive Brew, now is the time to do it.
And if you wait a couple days to listen to this podcast, I'm sorry. You should have just listened to it when it came out.
Should have turned them notifications on. Should have subscribed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Podcast June, right?
Podcast June. All lowercase, one word.
Use it on the web store. Check out some clean, crushable kombucha. And let us know what you think.
Great.
Let's jump over on the Patreon. Appreciate each and every one of you that listen to this podcast. And hope you got some value and a little insight behind the scenes. Do flavor naming. Cheers.